sunshine, tears and rain, precious memories of years gone by. Eyes of darkness, fear and pain, all the time that we had. When all that's left is a photograph, not one golden moment in the sun. Hello and welcome to The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I watch some of the purportedly worst television shows in history in an effort to discover which is truly the absolute worst. I'm Matt Murphy. I'm back again for another round of Cop Rock. With me is Rachel.
Hello.
And Alex.
Hi.
And Tachi, the human IMDb.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh god, he's stuck in song mode.
He's almost always in song mode, actually.
That is true.
Cop Rock just helps with my addiction.
So, we just watched episode 4 of Cop Rock, which was called a three-corpse meal. Unlike the last few episodes, this one actually had a direct relationship to something that happened in the show, in the title.
That's not true. The last episode had, you know, something that happened sort of in the episode as the title.
I guess, but we had to learn that with the help of Alex.
But this episode doesn't have anything relevant to the episode in the title.
Yeah, it's not relevant still.
It isn't even relevant to the subplot it occurs in.
Nope.
And yet, the three-corpse meal is a really fascinating scene.
Yeah, it might be the best scene in the entire episode.
Not Baby Merchant?
No, we were kind of expecting that because you haven't stopped singing the song for months.
Baby Merchant, Toys R Us.
It's one of the best songs in the entire history of the show.
We call it the song that kept us going.
Yeah, we made it to this episode exclusively for this song.
It's the only reason I agreed to continue watching.
And I gotta say, I'm disappointed.
Why?
I am not surprised.
The song itself is exactly what I thought it would be, but the episode surrounding it commits, I think, what is the greatest sin of any media, which isn't being bad, but being boring.
It's so boring, but
It's not just that it's boring, it's pointless too. Because all three subplots, there's like three subplots this episode.
I think we got four.
Four?
It's okay.
I think one of the, like, there's the A plot of LaRusso.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the B plot of the Baby Merchant. And then there's the C plot, the forensics cop is too fat.
And
too
then
fat.
There's the D plot, Marin Chief.
Oh my god, right.
Did you forget about the other, I don't even know what letter plot it is, of the not gonna happen romance between the two partner cops?
Okay, so I foresee an issue. Last episode, we figured out it's easier to describe an episode of Cop Rock by plot line rather than going chronological scene by scene.
Except this one had so many plot lines.
It was a real plot salad.
And we couldn't tell which one is the most important. It kept going back and forth.
I do have to say, this is the first episode where every single song that was sung was diegetic.
Not every single song. I think you're forgetting the mayor's finale.
Well, you're right. I did forget that because I think I fell asleep.
It was boring. It was the most boring and the worst song.
It was certainly the correct song to fall asleep to.
Though I have to say the quality of the songs in this episode was really good. We all agreed that the very first song, which is in the first scene, can't keep a good man down.
Yeah, let's get all of LaRusso stuff out of the way.
Yeah, let's start with LaRusso. LaRusso last episode was booked on being a dirty cop, and now he's in the clink.
He's been arraigned.
Which is a great plot line. You're like, okay, yeah. LaRusso's a dirty cop, but something's he's in the clink. Happen. And we're going to have to like root for him because while he's shit, the people around him are shittier.
And yeah. He still manages to be a bigger piece of shit.
Yeah, it's true.
Two non-threatening gang members.
He gets brought into the jail and has kind of a badass song. Where I can't say I liked him, but I might have liked the actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it showed how bad, like, I believed his badassitude, and I was kind of worried for anyone who was going to get in his way.
It gave me a Rorschach vibe. For all you Watchmen readers out there.
And yet the song was still kind of slow.
Oh, like, no, every song is slow. Every song overstays its welcome. Because the song, because there isn't enough. You can't just have a song. There needs to be visual elements to go along with it. And this episode still commits the sin. The only song that had like a cool visual element going along with it was the Fat Cop song near the end when the whole like...
When everybody was in front of the same tiny mirror in the gym and flexing?
Yeah, yeah, where all the people in the gym we are telling him, like,
LaRusso.
I'm sorry. Okay.
LaRusso has a cool song where he's getting brought into jail and he's singing, Can't Keep a Good Man Down. And then we went to the theme song and we all got very excited during the LaRusso song. And then I think our excitement deflated when we found Randy Newman's song again.
Yeah.
That is a really long intro song.
It's really long. It's over a minute and a half long, I know, because I put it at the start of every podcast that we talk about cop rock.
You make people listen to that?
I do, because we don't...
Yes, suffer too.
Oh my god. We're not going to have any listeners.
We don't have any listeners. but we also don't have a theme song, so...
LaRusso gets... There was a very expensive bail while after his arraignment.
$500,000.
$500,000. And he's like, he says to his lawyer, you should bail me out. And his lawyer says, the city is not responsible for that.
No, he says, I don't pay my... there are things that I don't do for my clients, and paying their bail is one of them. Mm-hmm. Totally reasonable.
But this lawyer has an assistant.
And she comes in a later scene... And tells him that she got the appeal on the bail granted or something. And they lowered the bail to a much more reasonable...
$100,000, so he only had to come up with $10,000 cash.
Which is a system I don't understand. But I also don't understand the legal system.
May you never understand it.
Yes, that's true. And he's like, I've only got $2,500 in the bank. And she's like, put up what you got and I'll do the rest. And he's like,
why? Have they never heard of bail bondsmen? I don't know.
That's a great point. There's one directly across the street from the Hollywood police station, in fact.
That makes sense. Mm. So what upset me about LaRusso's plotline, I mean, other than the end of it, which we'll get to,
lack of chemistry?
He has one scene in the clink where he's cornered in the bathroom.
He's in the shower. It's not just the bathroom, it's the shower, and he's presumably naked.
And like threatened by three guys, and he just threatens them harder and then puts one in a headlock. And then he's out of jail.
But the threats weren't even really threatening. It was just like, so I see you're here, copper. And he's like, yeah, that's right. And I will kill you if you touch me. And then it was really dumb.
It was the equivalent of the game that you played with your siblings. Like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because they're both goading each other into making the big first move. But LaRusso's first move is just so good. Putting the other guy in a sleeper hold, that there's just no coming back for those poor gang people.
Yeah, that the other several large gang members don't want to get any part of that.
So there's going to be no repercussions for that scene. We know that, right?
Correct.
It was just pointless.
Uh-huh.
All it did was show that LaRusso is a badass, quotes, which his song already established, and then the episode throws out the door immediately after that.
Because he gets out.
Because he gets out of jail.
Because the pretty... I guess she's pretty... I don't think she's that... She's fine, I guess. She's not a monster.
lawyer doesn't need a plastic surgery musical number.
No, she doesn't need a plastic surgery musical number. She's okay looking. She bails him out. Then he breaks into her office.
Yes.
Because she locked the door.
But oh, right. I didn't realize that. Oh, my God.
I put here, LaRusso is a gross bad boy. Breaks into the lawyer's assistant's office.
Uh-huh.
And basically is like, I think we've got a thing going on between you and me. And she's like, oh, yeah? What are you going to do about it? And he's like, whatever you want, baby.
And like, then they have, like, the most mild BDSM thing.
In fact, my comment was, OMG... So boring. How is a sexy scene boring? Like, how could it be so boring? There's no chemistry.
There was just absolutely no fireworks, no zip, zap, zap. There was no... there wasn't anything that seemed to be propelling the scene forward aside from the script.
Right?
So it was very dull, and that was it for LaRusso's plotline.
Speaking of no chemistry love stories, shall we get the mayor and the chief out of the way?
That's at the end.
I don't know. I think we got something else that we... Yeah, I mean, it is the end of the episode.
I want to save it because it is the one that made me angriest.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it time for Ralph Forensics?
Well, I think we should I think we should pop into what happened after the LaRusso story started.
There was more?
No. So we're done with LaRusso.
Done with LaRusso.
LaRusso's done. But then we get the drug addict from the first pilot episode who comes on and she admits that she sold her baby. And now she wants her baby back.
And she does this to Lady Cop.
Yeah,
she wants her what?
She wants her baby back.
Baby back.
Baby back, baby, baby back, baby back. She wants her baby back, baby back, baby back.
Chillers.
Baby back.
What's important is we're having fun.
Yeah. So Lady Cop convinces her to confess to selling her baby. And they'll do what they can to, like, nail the guy she sold it to you and get her baby back.
Because she says she's going to kill herself if she doesn't get her baby back.
Yeah.
Baby back, baby back.
And then the chief... Like, she confesses, and the chief immediately books her.
Yeah, Captain Hollander is...
Captain, not the chief.
Yeah. Captain Hollander.
Yeah, Captain Hollander.
And her name's Patty, too.
Patty.
Yeah, Patty the baby mama. Patty the baby mama.
Also, this baby episode was directed by a man named Fred Gerber.
Aww.
Aww. That's adorable.
Wait, Fred Gerber of MASH?
I don't know. I just wrote it down because I saw Gerber and knew there was a baby song in this episode.
Okay, go move on.
I loved how this plot line was kicked off by Patty the baby mama saying, "I sold my baby," really angrily.
Like it was anybody's fault but her own.
Right.
It was the drugs that made her do it.
So as she's being booked, she sings another solid good song, which I called You Lie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Lied. I also wrote You Lied.
Wow.
So the baby mama's getting booked. She sings You Lied to the Lady Cop because Lady Cop wasn't able to protect her from the long arm of the law. Even though baby mama told everything she knew about the baby merchant ring that she was incidentally a part of, she was still booked under child trafficking, assumedly, or something to that effect, because she did actually sell her baby.
So at this point, the partner cops, that's Lady Cop and her partner who's hot for her,
Andy and Officer Quinn Cop Woman,
they have to pretend to be married and go, like, track down this baby merchant. So they go to through a lawyer first and, like, talk about wanting to buy a baby and how he might be the right guy, because Patty told them about this lawyer that she went to learn how to sell her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he denies everything, and sends him out of his office. But then later they get a call from Glenn.
The mysterious Glenn.
Who, by the way, the Patty, the baby mama, told them about. She said, this is how it works. You go to the lawyer, Mr. Beamer, and then he denies knowledge of anything. And then you get a phone call from this other guy.
Glenn. And Glenn's like, meet me in the park right now.
Yes.
And they're just like, okay.
In Silver Lake.
So they go out to the park. And it was it Echo Park?
I believe
well,
it.
Well, Silver Lake is in Echo.
They say, yeah.
Yeah.
And they have, and Glenn has his big number.
Oh my God. So Glenn is this skeevy, baby selling con man. I don't even know what he is, what his thing is.
He's the baby merchant.
He's the baby merchant.
So he sings the best song ever written.
Yeah, we know this because you sang along with the whole song.
That's because it's amazing.
And I believe all of us have been singing and humming it since the episode has ended.
It's the catchiest song that has been in the show thus far.
And also the most outrageous thing to sing about.
Yes.
Selling baby.
Exactly.
It gets set off when he says the baby will be $11,000, and they're like, I don't know how they say it. They're like, that's a bit much. And then the Baby Merchant song just starts.
And the chorus is, Baby Merchant, tots are us, all the service.
For no damn fuss.
Give the Baby Merchant just a week or two. I'll have that baby for you. Ooh.
Oh, God.
So, but what I love about that is that he's saying he'll have the baby for them. But it doesn't, but you can take that sentence in the, I am pregnant and will birth the baby. And
I did not take it that way.
Well, he also, while he's singing this, the only thing that's going on visually is he's walking around them thrusting.
And like,
he is thrusting.
Making a baby belly with his pantomiming a baby belly on himself.
It's really skeevy.
It's a pelvic thrust for those who couldn't see what we were doing on this futon just now.
The podcast futon.
So our next scene with Glenn is they've gone to a motel, and we get a little scene before Glenn arrives where the guy cop is trying to seduce her. And he's just like, watch an X-rated movie with me. And they have like a talk about marriage.
And how he just wants the vacation parts and not the mundane parts.
It's a really boring scene. I barely remember what they said.
And I thought there was going to be like a song about marriage at this point.
Because
but no.
The last time in a bedroom together, they had a dress-up song.
Which was a super fun number.
It was a super fun
number. I've gotten pretty good at telling when there will be a song based on how many minutes since the last one. So.
Oh, shit.
I'll be your guide.
Okay. Yeah, you called most of the songs this episode. Mm-hmm.
Although that was all of the tension of the episode, was waiting to see when the songs would happen.
That's true. It's true.
I think I have a theory that they have locked themselves into a 5-song per episode thing. Yeah. And therefore there are songs because we're at the 1-minute mark and not because it's the appropriate time for a song.
That's stupid.
That's possible. But I want to tell you, I was wrong about Fred Gerber. He actually started with China Beach directing. He's a director and producer. So a lot of the stuff that he's directed is very good. So it could be that him directing this episode is why we actually had, you know, things that, while boring, made sense.
Thank you, Fred Gerber. Your products are excellent.
I'll buy a baby from you, Fred Gerber.
No, he's not the baby merchant. He's not what? The baby merchant.
Oh, I got lost.
Sure, he's wink, wink, not the baby merchant.
That's how you get a baby merchant. First we all know this.
Oh.
First,
should
someone...
I expect a call in a couple of weeks?
I don't know.
Anyway, so Glenn shows up
with a bassinet.
Yeah, with a bassinet at the motel. Gives him the baby. They give him the money. He walks out. And the cops jump him.
It's a sting.
And he gets arrested. And we jump to, almost immediately, to the interrogation where the lawyer... who they talked to earlier is now Glenn's
attorney.
And he basically cuts a deal with the cops. He's like, Glenn is a small fry in this massive international baby trafficking syndicate.
Does he not realize that he's going to be implicated in this? Is he that dumb of a lawyer?
They haven't made the connection between them.
No, they have like the connection between the connection. Them. They just they can't prove the connection
but,
between
right.
them.
Well, that's what I mean.
But there's even bigger fish than both Willie Beamer, yeah. Philip Beamer,
Philip
not Willie
Beamer, okay.
Which is a deep cut.
Uh-huh.
And this plot ends when Lady Cop goes in. What is her name?
Quinn.
Vicky Quinn goes in and talks to the captain and makes the very valid point that absolutely everyone lost in this. The baby was taken from its really nice middle-class house. We get that scene, I forgot about that, where they go and arrest the people who bought
and charge them with human trafficking.
Slavery,
yes.
They bought Patty's baby, and now they're charged with slavery, even though they had a really nice middle-class house.
They lived in Beverly Hills. That was nice.
Yeah. Patty, instead of being in rehab, is in jail, and Glenn is off scot-free.
Yep.
So she makes the very valid point that this is bullshit.
And that the mother should be in drug rehab and not jail.
And that the baby should probably go back with the people who bought it.
No, I don't know that that's what she was saying. I think she was saying that the baby should be with, you know, somebody that loves her rather than in foster care. Temporary foster care.
And the captain just passes that buck. He's like, nah, it's the system. I can't do anything about it.
And she's like, you're the... Captain, you kind of can.
And up to this point, I was sort of under the impression that the captain was being pitched by this show as like a good guy character. But I have to ask this question now at this point. Which character, are any of these characters likable people?
Nope.
Gaines.
I mean, no, Gaines is too happy-go-lucky.
Gaines is just irritating.
He's winning so far.
I guess he's the process of elimination.
He pulled in from behind.
Vicky Quinn would be likable if she didn't also have a crush on her partner.
Yeah, she's the second. Her and Gaines, like, at least she hasn't acted on it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Rose was even in this episode.
Nope.
Though maybe she's not going to have to worry about that dilemma much longer because of the C-plot.
Of her husband.
Yay.
Who needs to go on a diet or he'll die.
Oh my god, this was the stupidest plot.
Oh my
I
god.
Can't believe they introduced this plot.
So Ralph Forensics, Vicky Quinn's husband.
Ralph Forensics.
Is a portly man and older. And his doctor tells him he needs to drop 35 pounds or he's going to drop dead. So he is consoled by the local vegetarian on the force to have, like, rabbit food. He almost calls it rabbit food.
He does call it rabbit food.
He is petulant about having to diet.
Yeah.
He's absolutely wretched about it.
Oppositional defiant about it is what he's being.
He's like, celery, cauliflower.
Like, at least three of his scenes are just him moaning to people in different ways about the fact that he can't eat good food anymore.
Like, he's mad about jicama. He gets angry and doesn't know what it is.
And honestly, I don't even think it's worth summarizing his scenes. I think it's just worth getting to the three-corpse meal.
Yes.
First of all, what's jicama?
What? Really?
Yeah.
It's a large, like, root, and it tastes very watery, but it's sweet if you get a good one.
All right, I'll stick to my pancakes.
So this culminates in a scene where he gets called to this crime scene where three, I guess, mobsters have been shot dead at an Italian restaurant, all kind of artfully laid out. Like, they were shot dead, but, like, I guess there wasn't a lot of blood spare because there's just a little bit of blood.
There was just barely any blood.
Because the title of the episode.
It's a three-corpse meal.
Yay.
And so he starts to, like, note how everyone was killed. And while he does this, he's shoveling food into his mouth.
But he puts on the gloves and then starts shoveling the food gloves.
That's the part I just can't get over.
He's doing it casually and almost unconsciously.
This is a crime scene.
And he's the forensics guy.
And he's just defiling.
And he's just putting his mouth on everything.
No, he put the gloves on. And then he convinces the guy who's taking the notes and incredulous that he's eating food off of the table where these dudes were murdered. He convinces him to go outside. Then he sits down next to one of the corpses, takes the napkin out from his collar, stuffs it into his own collar, and starts eating the food on the table.
Now, we're not giving this scene credit. It stages its beats like a sketch.
Yeah?
It knows what it's doing.
Absolutely.
It's supposed to be humor, I think, but the show
isn't funny.
It isn't funny, and it has too many deeply morose moments for the humorous moments to rise above them. So you're bored, kind of depressed, and then this scene comes in, and the rest of the tone of the show, it goes from this, the scene's supposed to be funny, to just a scene about a disgusting man.
Yeah.
That is a very astute assessment.
He does, however, have the best song in the episode.
Oh, you think this is the best song in the episode?
The best staged song.
The best non-Baby Merchant song?
Yeah, yeah.
Where I called it the Fat Ralph Blues.
I called it It's Not Mine, but
I called it No Pain, No Gain.
And
I called it Exercise Song is So Randy Newman, There Are So Many Lists in This Song.
Oh, yeah. You said while we were watching that this is the most Randy Newman song.
It is, too. Because the song is, he's on an exercise bike, bemoaning how his life is ruined by the fact that he can't eat burgers all the time.
Presumably. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then he's met by a chorus of people who are doing, like, rhythmic lifting and flexing.
Not just people, really buff guys.
They're all cops. It's supposedly the cop workout area.
Yeah.
They're all wearing LAPD outfits.
And they're really buff, and they're just flexing in front of him, and they get in real close. And
so they can all be in the shot together.
Yep. And
it's a medium shot. It's not like a wide shot.
Yeah, they did not find a very big location for this.
Which seems insane, because it's LA. How can you not find, like, a dance studio with a mirror to set up as a gym for an hour and a half?
I mean, it was 1990.
Yeah, there were only, like, 500 gyms here then.
When was the big quake? When was that?
94.
Ah, damn it, I didn't live here.
So he just kind of goes like, it's, you know, that's their life and that's fine, but it ain't my life, it's not mine, or something like that.
And they have a good, well, they have a few good lines. The backup had a line like, it's the last call for cholesterol.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was really, oh man.
This show.
So
this episode, the cherry on top of this episode is the mayor and the chief of police.
In the last episode.
Yeah, previously on Cop Rock.
It is a scene I can barely even talk about because it grossed me out so bad.
It's so previously on Cop Rock, the mayor, who was a frumpy Dolores Umbridge kind of woman, underwent radical transformative plastic surgery, including a musical number.
that was the plastic surgery.
Yes. And we are seeing her for the first time. And so first we get the chief complaining to his subordinate, Ozzy, like, I can't believe this woman, she just wants to wring my testicles through the wringer or something like that. I'm exaggerating, but it's...
No, you're not.
No, go further.
And he...
You're halfway there.
And he's just really upset, and he's angry that he has to go on a date with the mayor, basically, to some formal function.
A function, yeah.
And
before that scene ends, do you remember what he grabs?
A whip.
He goes,
a bullwhip.
He goes into his desk and grabs a bullwhip. Then goes into a closet and starts going, yeah! What's he whipping? Who knows?
It's probably an effigy of her.
As an artful show, they want you to imagine what he's whipping.
I bet he's not whipping it good.
So then he goes to her office and he complains more about her. And then she comes out and he doesn't recognize her at first. Because she's pretty now.
And she is. She's a lovely woman.
Once he recognizes,
they couldn't see your air quotes.
and when he does recognize her, he's like immediately starstruck and amazed,
and smitten.
And they have like a little moment, and then they leave. And then, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, what sort of crazy shenanigans are they going to get up to at this event? How is this a romance going to develop? But it doesn't. It just happens.
Yeah, later on, we cut to a car coming into a driveway. And I'm like, oh, they're arriving at the event. And it's them being dropped off after the event.
They just skip it.
Yeah.
They skip it entirely.
Yeah, no need for the actual anything to happen in this episode.
I mean, really, what would have happened aside from more stammering from the chief?
I don't know. Some sort of development of their relationship.
Dating hijinks,
like,
I suppose.
Like, noticing each other from across a crowded crudité table.
Or like, the chief has to do that. The chief and the mayor bump into some of his colleagues, and they can't believe that he's being nice to her all of a sudden, and he has to, like, double talk, like, no, I've never said anything bad about her.
Maybe, like, she doesn't understand that now that she's pretty, people like her and talk to her, because that's the vibe the show is going for. And like,
or they solve a mystery
or a murder.
Oh boy,
maybe all these things did happen and we just didn't see it. Such excitement occurring off camera.
Instead,
we get the grossest scene where apparently they love each other now, like they're smitten with one another.
They have a kissing scene. It's the least luscious kissing I've ever seen.
I don't understand this. So I get that he's smitten by her because he is ruled by the D. But why does she like him? Previously, she hated
him. Because no one's ever been interested in her before because she was, a hideous crow face?
Who could stop a train.
Stop a train, yes.
So according to the show.
So this chauvinist scumbag shows the slightest bit of interest in her. And suddenly She's overwhelmed.
Yeah. Clearly written by a man.
Falls into his arms.
Clearly written by a man.
And clearly directed by Fred Gerber. We trusted you.
No, we only had two shows that he directed before this.
And this ends with her singing the worst song in the show. Am I wrong that this is the worst song?
I don't even remember it.
It was less than a minute long, blissfully. And it was so, like, I don't even remember really what it was about, aside from, like, look at this face. Isn't it pretty? Could somebody love this pretty face?
Yeah.
And that was really it.
Could this be a face that someone could love? I wrote that down. It was like a really boring somewhere out there.
And I'm not paying those royalties.
Could this be a face that someone could love? Don't worry. We already owe Chili's some money.
We do.
Oh, no.
No freebies, Chili's.
We're totally going to go eat at your restaurant now.
There's one down the street.
So the episode ends.
So that was, and yes, the episode just ends abruptly. And we're faced with a conundrum here, aren't we, folks? I'm not.
Neither am I.
I'm totally fine.
I'm totally pumped for more.
Never watching this show ever again.
So that's the question I pose to you all. Is this show bad enough that we should stop it now?
Yes.
It's bad enough that I can't stop.
Here's the thing about this show. I feel like it's trapped right before the inciting incident. Like, the pace and everything.
Ooh.
Like, it always feels like something might be about to happen, but it never does. It's like every episode is made of the third or fourth scene in an episode of a show, spliced together infinitely. Like every scene is the scene that's supposed to give you a break from the excitement, except the excitement never comes. The songs never add anything. The action never goes anywhere. When they have dramatic developments, they immediately shut them down. The baby merchant was boring. There was no sting. There's no police work in the show.
None.
There's no investigation. None. It's all boring, shitty interpersonal drama.
And I love it.
All right, Tasha.
Here's what we haven't done, though. There is something that we haven't done, and we did this for Cleopatra 2525, and that was take a person who has not been following us on the journey and shove him in the middle and see their face.
I don't know that I hate anyone this much.
I love plenty of people this much.
Aww. Aww. All right, Tachi, I'm going to need to hear your case here.
Well, that is one of my pieces to the case, is that I want, especially, and we know a lot of people, I would love to see, like, somebody who is a super hardcore musical theater person and see how they react.
So we're inviting Katie Curley back?
We could invite Katie. We could invite multiple people. I don't know. That's the thing. Katie the Canadian. Also, I feel like we're forgetting what this podcast is all about.
Yeah, I think we found a... Look.
This podcast, we are not here to enjoy ourselves.
We are here
to suffer.
No,
and
we're
the
not.
World... will listen to us suffer.
No, we're, that,
and we're suffering for the sins of Fred Gerber.
That's not at all what
and
we're
Stephen
here.
Butchko.
But we're...
And
we're,
Ronnie Cox.
We're here for the worst show on earth, and the fact that we miss Cleopatra 2525 and want to revisit season two of like, we've been talking about it for weeks. That we're like, you know, I really miss Cleopatra 2525.
Tachi's right. We can't stop now.
Oh my god.
This pit goes so much deeper.
Would it help if we did at least two episodes of Cop Rock per podcast?
Oh my god.
But that means watching two episodes of Cop Rock.
But then it means that we're done the season faster.
No, this is my grandfather's philosophy of I don't like the thing that is in the pantry or the fridge. So even though other people in the house might like eating it, I'm going to try to eat it as fast as I can so it's no longer in the house anymore. This is not a good philosophy.
This is a very wise philosophy.
No.
Wow.
It's not.
So what you're saying is rather than like me or Tachi watching this all through, we should share it with everyone.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Rachel, I know it's a hard choice. We don't have to make the decision right now.
I am voting it no.
We can... All right.
I said I would give it through Baby Merchant because you wouldn't stop singing the song, and I was intrigued.
What song?
But let me tell you, I was so bored the last two episodes that I totally spaced out at the end and didn't... None of us can tell you what the song was at the end of this episode.
Pretty woman.
Okay, yeah, she's looking at herself in the mirror and like...
Would this be a face someone could love?
Matt Murphy.
Yes.
I thought that we were able to like vote no. I thought we were able to be like, no, I can't go on. This can't happen anymore. I'm voting no more watching this.
You can, but you can only do it once.
No, that's not the rules.
I'm afraid it is
nope,
now.
Nope, not
I'm
the rules.
Changing the rules.
It's, nope, not your
this
game.
This could be a cliffhanger.
This could be a cliffhanger.
I'm going to hang Cliff if you're not too careful.
Well, no. What's Cliff done to you?
He's been hanging around.
Is Cliff related to Fred?
And on that note, we're going to leave it there for now. But tune in the next 2 weeks to discover if we continue with Cop Rock or if we go somewhere else, perhaps somewhere darker and weirder and Sid and Marty Crofter.
Maybe ooh, into the with hat?
A, something with a plot, maybe?
Into the hat.
Don't promise plots.
Oh, Rachel. Rachel, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think you may have made the choice of the devil you know being worse, being less bad.
There's a saying somewhere. Looking for the worst show on earth. I have decided it is Cop Rock. Because Cleopatra 2525 has intrigued me enough now that I would like to go back to it.
Mm.
So I say that Cop Rock is the worst show on earth, according to our show, which has now watched
two shows. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed our podcast, please do leave us a rating on your podcast platform of choice or tell a friend to help them also enjoy our insane ramblings. If you enjoyed us riffing and want some more of it that isn't television related, Alex Tachi and myself can be seen most Sundays at twitch.tv/scabbyrooster for Scion, the Demi Dozen. It is an RPG show where the chosen of the gods of old weave new legends and myths for the world to enjoy. And that's again twitch.tv/scabbyrooster.
And on that show, we plug this show. Ah. On this show, we plug that show.
So inception-y.
It's a wonderful Ouroboros of promotion. I'm Matt Murphy.
I'm Rachel Bieber.
I'm Alex Humphrey.
And I'm Tachi.
And remember, folks, enjoy your media no matter how crappy it is.
And I'm the baby merchant, Tatsara. The city gives you such a run around. Those mental pushes only put you down. And lawyers ain't the only game in town. That's a migraine and a hat I won't put you through. I'm the baby merchant, Tots R Us. I give you